Greetings, this is James Gillen with the As You Wish Talk Radio Show on the BBS Network. We've got a great show tonight. I just want to give people a little heads up. We just had two back-to-back coronal mass ejections hit us. And boy, it's up here at East SETI, it's in the hundreds. And it's just unbearable. Luckily we have a retreat that I won't talk about because we are broadcasting somewhere live. Deep underneath the ground somewhere near Mount Adams, and that's all we're going to say about that. But anyway, we've got a great show. Also, too, I want to give people a heads up. The conference is coming up, too, the July 2nd through the 5th. So you really want to get on that because it's just a week away, and we've got some great speakers coming up on that. So you can go to the website eseti.org and check it out. Everything's on there. There's a couple other. You can go to esetireservations@gmail.com if you want to find out more information, and they'll send you all the info on it. But, you know, I don't have my list with me. We just relocated the studio. But we have some really great speakers this year and some amazing things. And we just added Scott Huckabee, who's going to be doing our music. And anybody who's heard Scott before here, we're just blown away. I mean, the guy can take his guitar and make it sound like every animal you can think of, and whales and everything else, but just an amazing guitarist. And he puts on quite a show and plays several instruments at once. But it's going to be quite an event. Anyway, that's the 2nd through the 5th, and don't miss it. We're having incredible UFO activity up here, and it's still ongoing. It hasn't stopped, so don't worry about looking into the past for proof. It's happening now, Eddie Seti. So our guest, and one of our guests tonight, we have Peter Maxwell Slattery, and he's an experiencer, author, speaker, meditation teacher, and does energy and healing practices. His experiences started at an early age and continue to this day, and he has been a witness to a myriad of events and has overwhelming amount of photographic and video evidence of UFOs, orbs, and apparitions. His experiences with extraterrestrials, interdimensional beings, spirits, and source has all led Pete to dedicate himself to the healing of the earth and the awakening of the human race by helping people find their own connection to source and their own interdimensional self. He also helps people to initiate contact themselves on whatever level they're ready to do so individually and in a group through love, good intention, and meditation. We also have Giles Campbell, and Giles is a really good friend from Australia. Also, this is like Australia night here. And so he's a former research scientist based in Tasmania. And he's witnessed anomalous lights on several occasions with family and friends. And this escalated into physical interactions with extraterrestrial encounters, such as mantid insect-like beings. His former partner also witnessed the same thing. It was difficult to dismiss these experiences as hallucinations, you know, when you have witnesses that are seeing the same thing. Naturally, as a trained scientist, he sought explanations from science. Unable to find answers to account for his experiences, he also questioned his sanity. Due to these experiences and other events, which he'll share more about, he resigned from his career. He was feeling lost and dissatisfied with his work after he met Mary Rodwell and Agnes Water and shared her story shared his story with her. A little typo there. He needed to get more confirmation on this was reality, and he traveled to the U.S. and came to East SETI, where his experiences were validated beyond any point of doubt. So without any further ado, I want to welcome Peter and Giles to the show. Are you with us?
Hello.
G'day, Giles. Are you there? Looks like we're not hooking up.
Something going on there.
Yeah.
Oh, spinning there.
Oh, yeah. We've got a little spinning ball.
Oh, there we go.
Is. All right.
Oh, we can't hear him.
No. Yeah, you should kill your video and just do audio. Not that we don't like seeing your beautiful face, but we lost Giles again. He's in Tasmania right now, so
at Agnes Water in Queensland, a little bit up from there. But
yeah. Okay, so he might have a little trouble hooking up, but until we get Giles on, we're just going to go ahead and talk with Peter here. So, Peter, welcome to the show, and you know, it's awesome having you here, and I'd love to hear your story about some of the things you've experienced here. Anything else you want to share with us?
Yeah, cheers. My experiences started at an early age, around between the ages of 8 and 12. I'm from Albury, which is on the border of New South Wales, Victoria, and Australia, sort of down the bottom part. And, you know, at a young age, I didn't know what to make of my experiences. I would see these whitish sort of grey beings. They're not your typical grey, and the vibration sort of energy from them was not too bad. So I didn't know what I was seeing, but I didn't equate it to demons or God or angels, or didn't know what the hell I was seeing. But, you know, things sort of progressed from there with the mass sighting in I think it would have been 95 now. I was 12 years old then. As a sort of a dark grey craft cut in front of a hill. It would have been three times the size of a football field cutting in front of Red Light Hill till it went out of view. And I didn't, you know, think much more of it though. You know, it changed, you know, a lot of perspective that I had at a young age. I didn't make much of it until the later years when sort of the activity kicked up again with some, you know, seeing crafts. I had a friend with me, I think it was in 2004, and a few cars pull up. We had a daytime sighting of an orb going over the suburb of Glen Rowan in Albury. But 2010 sort of things picked up when I started filming crafts and had more witnesses, and it ended up getting on the news. And sort of at that time, I started to see balls of light in the house, beings starting to manifest and that sort of thing. And yeah, it's sort of, I'll go on in a little bit with a bit more of that, but that's sort of just how things got started.
All right. I think we got Giles back. Giles, are you with us?
I think so. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, right. We can hear you now.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. How you going? Awesome to hear your voice.
Yeah, you too, man. Always good to hear you guys.
Yeah, we're having a blast over here.
Having a good time?
Oh, yeah, there's so many things going on. I'll let Peter tell you more about it. You know, it's better to hear from him, but...
Sure.
Yeah, but we'll get Peter here, and then we'll get back to you. So let's talk a little bit about East Eddie and your experiences here, and some of the things you've seen since you've been here.
My best mate Joel's, who we've got on now, and you're good friends with him. You said so much about this joint, and I'd heard a lot about it over the years. And coming to visit here, it's like I've been drawn here, and I don't know why. Of course, you're here, and what's going on's here, but you know, it's lived up to its name. It's very similar to stuff that I've experienced, but I've seen full-blown beings walking around on a few occasions now, which a few times I've sort of been taken aback because I've sort of followed them, and then no one's been, or there's been people in the areas, but not what I've seen. I've seen, I don't know, I've filmed probably over 20 crafts now here. Oh, we've had power-ups. Sarita and I, my partner, woke up... I didn't even wake up. We were just about to drift off to sleep, and a female voice between both of us said, "Watch out." And it was just as you said, a lost spirit just wanting some help to you know, move on as they get attracted to the area because of what's going on here. But it's, you know, it's been awesome, the energy from, you know, the stuff we've been doing together and, you know, the sessions and that going on here, and the amount of people that sort of walk through here, and the people that come through, just meeting people, it's been amazing. You know, coming here from Australia, doing a 14.5-hour flight, then more flying to get here was all worth it. Definitely.
Yeah. I know you got some great equipment here, and that new camera you've got, I can't remember what kind it is, but it does the infrared but we were playing with that in the meditation room, and when we were doing counseling work there and things like that, and boy, the stuff that showed up on that camera, maybe you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it's basically like a friggin' tornado of orbs. with a lot of orbs, you know, you do hear there are dust artifacts and weird things like that, but you can see that these things are going into frame and they continue until they're out of frame. A lot of the time, just in the middle of the screen, you'll have the orb because if it's dust, it will just stay in that area because of the way the lights work. So these things that we're getting aren't dust or, you know, other artifacts. A lot of the time we're seeing these things too, they're phasing in and out because the veils between worlds here, as you know, because you're living here, everything's real thin as it's popping in and out. So we've been filming a lot of stuff like that multiple times now, and, you know, on the film, the Field of Dreams as well, we've been getting stuff like that as you got out the big spotlight. We've been following them across the field, and baseball size orbs, you know, around the grass and that too. So it's all happening here.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Really hot butt, so.
All right. Hey, let's bring Giles on. Giles, what have you been up to? Uh-oh. Giles went to get something to drink.
Hey. I've got a baby that's a bit demanding at the moment.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I haven't seen your little one there. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thank you very much.
All right.
He's certainly an epic handful.
Yeah. How are you and Brittany doing down there, down under?
Yeah, really, really good. It's been pretty intense, eh? So, but
I've told him a little bit, bro. I've tried calling with him a few times too, but we just haven't got through.
It's been, it's been pretty interesting, James. Lots of bits and pieces going on.
Yeah. I heard you having a lot of encounters, and you got your new land, and you're getting it together, and it's also a vortex there, and so you're having some amazing experiences, probably both some really awesome benevolent things, but also probably being challenged by less than benevolent things that would probably not like to see you be successful there.
Yeah, there's definitely both aspects of things sort of occurring at the moment. And the duality actually is sometimes it's quite difficult to kind of walk a balance, I think, between the two sides. And I mean, I'm sure you know yourself. I mean, I remember when I was up at the SETI, it was very much the same. You know, it was that you've definitely got sort of both aspects sort of around and working for and against you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I notice the ones that are working against you just love to jump in, you know, your friends and family and those closest to you and create all kinds of havoc. And
that's, that's the difficult thing. And, you know, I think, like you said, a lot of the time when I was up there, you've just got to run your own experience and your own reality and, you know, not let any of that other stuff kind of grind you down.
Yeah. It's like you got some bells in the background, huh?
Yeah, it's a bit windy up here. Then my wind chimes having a bit of a go. Is it really loud?
Yeah. Well, I've been hearing about some amazing experiences there on your land, and I guess you're having just all kinds of ultra-dimensional beings appear to you, and as well as the craft. And I'd love to hear more about what's been manifesting on your end.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's been a. I've been exploring this stuff since I came and visited with you, and you know, I became a little bit more accepting about my experiences that started, I guess, sort of 11 years ago now. And and I think, and it's strange because there's always this disconnect that seems to happen with me, and I don't know what that's all about. But my interactions seem to come in waves, so I'll get a bit of a kick in for a while, and then it'll go away and settle down, and I'll think that, you know, I'll get to the point where I think that, you know, I've lost it a little bit and I've gone a bit too far down the rabbit hole and I didn't really, you know, and maybe I'm imagining all of this stuff, and then I get another serve, if that's how you'd like to put it. I've had some pretty intense stuff happen, but one of the bigger events recently was I was out the back of the block with a friend of mine, and we saw a craft just appear above us. It was just above the trees. It wasn't very high at all, and it was probably about the size of a jet. It was disc-shaped, and it had these red and gold strobing lights around the circumference of the disc. Mm-hmm. Around the perimeter of the disc, and it drifted. It appeared above us, and then the moment it appeared, there was this immense joy. Like this, it was pretty full on joy and euphoria, I guess. Mm-hmm. I would say. And the person who was with me, she didn't see it, and I watched it. Sort of move over us. I didn't want to say anything for some reason. I was gobsmacked by it. And it blinked off, and then it blinked on again right above us. And in my head, there was a very clear instruction to tell the person next to me that I was seeing this, and they turned around and they saw for the first instant, the first thing that they said, "Is that a plane?" And then obviously they realized that, you know, they're not looking at an airplane. And then this thing drifted over us again over the trees, blinked off, blinked on again, and did it another three times. And I asked her when it went, I said, what were you feeling when you saw that? And she literally said, she said it was just pure joy, you know, like absolute joy. And it's funny because she'd been wanting to see something like that her whole life. And for it to happen then was pretty intense. And then just recently, I think I was telling Pete, I was woken up about 2 o'clock in the morning, which seems to be the typical kind of routine things take. And my heart was pounding. I didn't know what the hell was going on, but there was some very massively intense presence. Like I didn't see anything, but I was acutely aware that there was something incredibly intense around. And I asked, I asked, who are you? What's this all about? And immediately it was like this angelic, but not like love and light angelic, like warrior kind of energy. And it was, I mean, the intensity of it, and you know, and it sounds crazy, but they asked me to go outside, but I, you know, kind of couldn't walk because it was too intense. It was couldn't get up. And you know what? And it's funny because I'm sitting in bed and I'm wondering why can't I move? Why am I so blasted with this energy that I can't even get up and get to the door, you know? And I see this picture in my head of you know, this typical kind of sort of Renaissance art, I guess, where you'd see somebody on their knees with an angel above them.
Yeah.
And it was like, look, this, and it's like, it's funny because you always see this as somebody worshipping us, mm-hmm. but actually they're on their knees because they can't actually physically stand in our presence.
Yeah.
Because of the energetic signature. And it was exactly, it was weird because it was like I had my eyes open and I could see that on a screen in front of me. And then, you know, and then I was suddenly, you know, fully aware of why I couldn't get out of bed. And, you know, even though there was this kind of urge for me to get outside and see what on earth was going on. So, but after that experience, man, I wasn't really with it for about 3 weeks afterwards. I would, you know. Couldn't find car keys. I couldn't keep my shit together at all.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was good having people like Pete and Mary to call and have a chat to, because, you know, I guess these guys are a little bit more sort of experienced with that kind of stuff than I am. But it was certainly quite intense.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think about it, you know, you're like the perfect person for them to contact because, you know, you were a genetic, you know, scientist, you know, and so you got this, you know, brilliant mind and scientific background and everything else. And so now you're having these incredible paranormal events and, you know, to match that with your background, I mean, who's gonna try to dispute, you know, they can't just, you know, write you off as, you know, someone that's clueless, you know, that's a drug addict or whatever, you know, they can't, as they usually do, they can't really write you off because you got the credentials. And
oh yeah, they can write me off.
Oh yeah, they try. They try, but it just makes them look stupid, you know. But so,
I guess you just get to the point where you just don't really care about that stuff anymore, man. It's like, you know, yeah. That's, you know, I can't. Like I said to Pete, there's no point in me trying to convince people that these things are happening to me. I just experience them and just go along with the ride and see where it all leads. And what's happening, I don't, you know, it's difficult with, I mean, obviously family and friends. And it's, yeah. It's not that I've lost a lot of friends over it. It's just that it's very difficult to actually be part of that old, I guess that old mindset of, you know, how things work, and that it's very difficult to be around people that don't, that haven't, not that they haven't had experiences, because the funny thing is, lots of people I know have, but they just choose not to look at it or question it, you know. It just becomes just something to ignore. Here's a good example for you. I was sitting in the my room the other day with a friend of mine who's had a couple of experiences, but he's he mentioned that he had one visitation in the last couple of years, but we're sitting in the living room and I'm sitting next to him and he's on his laptop doing some work, and I see very clearly this sort of 3.5 foot tall smoky apparition type thing just walk through the room, you know, at the corner of my eye, and I look at it and it walks through and it just disappears through one of the doors, and I was like, that's kind of weird. And and again, that thing in my head that occasionally pops up that says, hey, look, Nathan saw that. I asked Nathan. So I said, hey, Nathan, did you see that? Thinking that, you know, he was going to say no and I'd feel really foolish. And actually he did. He said, no, I didn't see anything. And then I felt stupid. And then he went back to his laptop and then, you know, there were no other words exchanged. But then a couple of seconds later, he stopped and he looked at me and he said, did you mean that smoky 3 foot tall smoky thing that just went through the room? And I said, yeah, mate, that's exactly what I mean. And I then asked him, I said, why did you say no, you didn't see it when I asked you? And he said, because my brain told me I didn't see anything, even though he had actually seen it. He said he actually had to go back and relive that moment and then saw it for him to actually acknowledge the fact that he had seen something, whereas what his condition is or his program is, look, that's not real, you didn't see that. So this is the kind of thing I've learned to understand, you're dealing with this kind of programming that even if people do see something, there's part of them that tells them that that couldn't possibly be real. So we obviously have this intrinsic sort of ability to sift sort of fact from fiction. But unfortunately what's happening with that kind of process is we're actually sort of dismissing some of the information that's actually really there.
Yeah. We've seen that here a lot. I mean, I won't mention names, but very well-known people in the field of ufology have come here. And we watched like two big ships come in really low, power up, you know, put a great display on. And then the next day we said, you know, well, how was that yesterday? Did you enjoy that? And they go, what? And they don't remember it. It like never happened to them. Yeah. And you have multiple witnesses out there that also saw it. And you go and talk to them and they go, yeah, the two big ships came in, powered up really low. And the person was jumping out and down, go, oh my God, what is that? You know, and they're all excited. The next day, it like never happened. Their mind just washes it out.
Well, I remember standing on your field and there being that golden ball, which appeared to have like a 6 or 7 foot diameter, appeared in front of us. There was about 30 people in the field, all looking across the field. And this thing appeared and was shooting around the place. And I think there were about half a dozen people in the field that were pointing and screaming at this thing as it was moving around. And everybody else is saying, what is it? What can you see? Yeah. You know, and to us, when we talked about it afterwards, it was clear as day that there was this, whatever it was, appearing in your field. Yet there was only six people that were, well, I wouldn't say capable of seeing it, but were willing to see it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that, you know, that goes back to the evidence that they've proven that you actually see with your brain, not your eyes, because your eyes are picking up billions of bits of information and your brain sorts out, you know, what's useful for you or according to your belief system, what absolutely. It's going to accept. And people, a lot of people come up and they said, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. But that's actually backwards, because you have to be open to it to experience it or have that possibility in your mind, or a lot of times you won't see it.
No, well, it's weird because I've been on both properties. I've been on Giles's and here, and Giles made me think about a lot of different aspects. And this is where the experiences sometimes are individual and then as a collective, like we experience here on the ranch. You know, a lot of us see stuff, but, you know, Giles is very grounding at the same time. And, like, on Giles's property, like, we were sitting in the house a few times, and I think it was great for Giles to know more that he wasn't insane, because there was a time where he had like a wispy grey, but like the council ones I was telling you about, walked straight through the lounge room, through the coffee table, and just blinked out. And Giles is blown out that I saw it with him because of the where Giles comes from with this, which is great, because it needs some skeptical thinking and grounding, and that's what Giles has brought to it. But, you know, this is where you're exactly right. I think now the scientists say we only see 0.005% of physical matter, and we only see that little spectrum of visible light within it. So, and at the same time, our brain's trying to decode, like you said, you know, yeah, out of that.
Well, a lot of scientists, it's funny, you know, they'll come up and they'll say that they have some authority, you know, they come in and they go, well, I've got a PhD, and they try to do that authority card, you know, and I ask them, I said, well, yeah, really, do they teach about UFOs in college, you know, and they go, no, and I said, well, so what, have you experienced a UFO? No. And I said, do you know anything about their culture, their propulsion, how they live? No. And I said, so how's your PhD going to help you here? But I think it is important to do bring credible people that are scientists, you know, into the field. And when they have these experiences, they can help the other people with the PhDs, or the people that need the PhDs, to, you know, to have this be a reality for them.
They don't have a nervous breakdown in the process.
Yeah. I remember when you came to the ranch and you're kind of losing it a little bit. I mean, you were having all these things happen, and you told me your story. And when you got through, I just went, that's it. You know, it's like, it's the same story I've heard so many times by so many people.
Yeah. But I think it's the paradigm shift, man, that hurts people. Like, you know, when you're traveling along with one specific, you know, set of, you know, you're in this specific reality that you've created around you, which is, you know, for me was a very logical, science-based, very earthly, three-dimensional kind of reality, which I still exist in, you know, obviously we all do, but without any regard or interest really in spiritual matters or anything else like that, because I, you know, for whatever reason during my life, I had been raised, you know, with a kind of, with fairly, I'd guess, unmotivated parents in that kind of area. So it was never anything that was of interest to me. And then when you have an experience that totally removes your paradigm from you, for me, and I think when I told you, I think for me it was like someone had ripped the ground from underneath my feet, and I was falling into a almost infinite sort of abyss, and I had no point of reference. I had nothing to grab hold of. You know, my entire paradigm had just been completely removed from me. So I then had to try and slowly start to build a new reality, incorporating what, you know, these things that I'd had experiences with into, including the craft, including the beings, and this, that, and the other. And I think this is where it's difficult for people, because there is that side of you that the first thing you ask is, am I insane? Am I mad? Have I lost, you know, have I lost it completely? You know, did I sniff chloroform in the laboratory today? Did I, you know, all of those things come up. And you pretty much try and you pretty much question everything. And it's only until you get to a point of acceptance and then start to build this other reality around you, where you're accepting that there's all this unknown, you know, we're not even scratching the surface. I mean, even, you know, lots of the experience, most experiences I talk to who have had multiple experiences, we don't know anything. You know, really, we don't know. We know there's lots of different beings, there's lots of different entities around, but we've got no idea what's really going on here, you know?
Yeah.
A little bit of a shake-up, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, most people think they're a body and a personality, and they're programmed to think that, and that's it. And then when they start breaking out of the box, you know, they realize they're a spirit, you know, that has a body and a personality. And then the next step is realizing that they're a multidimensional being, you know, existing on this vibrational continuum. And then all these beings start appearing to them because they're finally waking up, and they're going, hey, welcome home. You know, this is who you really are. And it gets a little intense, you know. Like, I went through that process too. I was losing my, we went through an identity crisis. I didn't, you know, all these beings were appearing to me and telling me their aspects of myself and all these other things. And my soul appeared to me, my Christ self, my I am, all these different beings are appearing to me. I was having a total meltdown, and then Ezekiel, this one being that's on the highest level, I asked him, I said, who am I? You know, I don't understand this. Who am I? And he said, it's all you. And then I realized that my personality was dying, basically, and it had to die to really understand, you know, what was really happening. But, you know, we're so much more than these bodies and personalities, and we are multidimensional beings. And on the highest level, you know, the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse is within each and every one of us. And when we access that, we start expanding in awareness, and we start realizing that, you know, that we're vast beings, you know, and that's a real shakeup to the personality self when that happens.
Well, it certainly creates a number of pant-filling moments, I think.
Exactly. So, hey, I wanted to ask, give a little shout-out to Brittany there. How's Brittany doing?
Yeah, she's good, mate. She's actually at work at the moment, but yeah, she's
okay.
Yeah, she's doing really good, and the kid's powering along, so...
Yeah,
Eli's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, man, he's a unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait till you see him, James. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to get out there soon. I've really planned on getting out there pretty soon and hanging out with everybody and
you know, you'll be well looked after here, mate.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on the books. It's on my bucket list. providing the black ops don't get to me first. They sure been trying, but I know I'll be around for a long time.
Yeah, good, man.
A little setback here and there.
Yeah, but, well, we all have those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't just have everything easy, you know, or you wouldn't appreciate it.
Well, that's another thing. So another one of the experiences I had was when I saw, I think I told Pete about this, and this was just before that last one that I told you about. It was just after I saw that craft, actually, I'm laying in bed and something happens and I wake up and then I'm having this weird kind of communication with something that I don't know what's – I don't really know, James, to be honest with you. I'm a bit rubbish with this stuff, but I'm laying in bed and there's just lots and lots of information being thrown at me, and I could see this. It looked like what you'd call a toroidal field, and in it there were all these little dots, like these little specks, and then it was like, look – and then one of these specks, it was like, look, this is your universe, this little speck in this toroidal field. And I'm like going, right, okay. And I'm saying, okay, who is this? And it's like, well, this is you that you're communicating with. But it was like, look, we're not going to give you too much information about that because it's going to sort of bend your melon a little bit. Yeah, yeah. And then, so anyway, so I saw that. And I saw... And then over the top of it, there was like this overlaid kind of thing. And I was like, what's that? And they said, that's source. And I was like, okay, so what's this thing with our speck of universe in it? And it was literally like this. This is like a battery.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very simplistic. What was happening is like, it's like a battery. And I know this sounds nuts, like, but this is what was happening. And I could see these little blue-white balls coming off the top and then joining with this thing at the top. And I said, what's that? And they were like, oh, that's consciousness. That's what this system that we're all part of generates, pure consciousness. And I was like, right, okay. And so that's love, is it? I asked the question, that's love. And it was like, no, that's pure consciousness. And I said, well, isn't that love? And they were like, no, even love has a limitation, has limitations. This is pure consciousness. And then it was like this explanation of why... You know, things we see things as being positive and negative, like good and bad here. But then it was like this entire system was created in a way to feed pure consciousness and generate more pure consciousness. You know, through choice. You know, basically saying, look, if you didn't have good or bad, you wouldn't have a choice to make. And if you don't have a choice to make, you can't choose. Which side to go on. It doesn't matter. Now, it doesn't really matter which way you choose because the system's actually perfect, but your consciousness cannot evolve unless it has choice, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it showed, and it basically said, look, if you choose this, the more self-serving, I guess, rather than negative, if you choose the self-serving path, then there's only a certain, your consciousness can only evolve to a certain point, whereas the love and compassion and the serving side of things, your consciousness can evolve a lot further and then head up to, you know, this unbounded consciousness that I was kind of seeing. And then it was like, then there was this kind of weird thing with an angel, which, you know, for me is very difficult to even talk about. But then there was this weird thing with an angel with this love and, you know, and this compassion and, you know, and completely unconditional love and compassion. And that, and it was literally like this. You'd think it's difficult on earth. Try letting go of that and ascending to unbounded consciousness. So try letting go of love and compassion to become unbounded consciousness. Like, you think, you know, like, it's tough here. We all know it's tough here. But there was like, look, there are steps along the way, you know, yeah. And you could choose whether to come back and help other consciousnesses evolve. And it doesn't matter because there's no, as you say, as you know, there's no judgment. It just is. You know, so there was, yeah. That was quite an interesting 4 hours.
Yeah. What about the craft that you saw that you spoke of earlier? Isn't it funny? I think the night after or two nights after, I filmed the exact same craft in Melbourne, which is about 2,000 kilometres away.
That's right.
And that was very strange. I was on my frigging knees just going, oh, my God. It was just above the house. And it was just really weird because I went up to Giles and showed it to him when we visited him and... You know, what's to go with that? This is how this works and everyone sort of connects up who's got to connect up, I guess. It's just, I just wanted to add that in there because that's just beyond a coincidence, I think.
Yeah, it was interesting that we had that conversation afterwards when, you know, because I can't even remember what happened. I can't remember whether I called you and told you about it or not, but I know when you called me and you were like, my God, I've seen the same thing. It was over our house and under, you know, I guess... similar kind of circumstances, but it was interesting to see how, you know, both of our descriptions of it were exactly the same, and also the joy and, you know, that we both got from the same thing. And the person that was with me actually when we were seeing the craft said that they felt that there was actually something with them holding them when they saw the craft. Like, it wasn't, you know, they said it wasn't necessarily the craft, but she said there was something with me, holding me, telling me everything was going to be okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Yeah. And there was, and she said a huge amount of love and joy. So that was kind of, you know, that was interesting.
So well, yeah,
sorry, mate.
Oh, that's all right. Well, yeah, we just had we had J SETI here, which is the Japanese version of E SETI.
Yeah.
And we're here Peter sat in on some of the workshop, you know, and the gathering, and he felt that same thing. Hayog came in, you know, the Ryan Council of Light. And, oh, yeah, you can tell by your experience.
Yeah.
That old fella.
Yeah, you've had experiences with him.
Yeah, I've had experience with him here as well, actually. Not so long ago, which was quite interesting.
Yeah.
The whole thing's been interesting. I was just getting absolutely just smashed. It's like each being's got its own energetic field and its own, you know, personality and its own sense of humour and that. But this was just like a big, like, it was like they were coming from, like, this being came from behind with a blanket and wrapped it around you, but the blanket was energy. And then there was like this, I was getting, you know, eyes in my head and like this blue sensation. I didn't know if it was skin or what it was, and James was going, oh yeah, that's the energy, you know, his energy.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, you know, it was catch up time. It was like, I know you, and you know my connection with Aaron and all that thing, and the same is very similar to both of you. So it was quite an experience in terms of just reuniting with an energy like that.
He's a formidable character, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. And big.
Yeah. Yeah. You get a big hug. You know, I call it a big cosmic hug, you know. And there's a couple times I was having, you know, some rough times here, and I felt him come behind me and just give me this big hug, and I just melted into it, and, you know, everything was all right. You know, it's pretty amazing.
He's a solid individual, isn't he, James?
Yeah. Yeah, he's very grounded in his energy, you know, which helps us ground out too.
Sure.
Definitely, but there's been lots going on here. It's quite an experience, as you know, Giles. You spent 3 months here on and off, and, you know, it's been really – it's like going to your place. It's been somewhere where I've been able to go and let my hair down. I've only been on the net the few times, so I've really just got back into just unwinding like you told me to, Giles, when coming here. And it was quite an experience to drive on the other side of the friggin' road, which I've still got to do, but it's – you know, it's been well worth it, and, you know, I've caught up with a lost brother, basically, and it's just been, you know, everything and more that we talked about, Giles.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's amazing, isn't it, up there?
Definitely, definitely. And just seeing, like, the Jay City and all that, just how they do things as well. That's Greg Sullivan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's just been amazing as well. And there's talks of another SETI happening soon, so keep posted about that.
Yeah, it's called, eSETI Australia, or eSETI Oz, so.
It's about
Yeah.
Well, we need it down there, so.
Yeah, we do, mate. And
work anyway, but they have it, you know, sort of authorised by James and backed, and, you know, James see how I'm doing things up here as well. And but the amount of beings, you're right, man, like on this property, like I'm seeing full-blown apparitions, like not even apparitions, they're as solid as, you know, seeing another being, and then they're just not there. So there's been, I'll tell you a few things when I get back anyway. We've already got almost... 15 people sitting out here that have just rocked up tonight for a Skywatch, and there's more people here as well. So,
I missed that. Sunflower seeds going, James?
I'm sorry, what was that?
How are the sunflower seeds going?
Oh yeah, they're still going. You know, you can just follow the sunflower seeds and find me anywhere. You know,
not exactly.
Follow the trail. I haven't that addiction yet, you know, but.
Well, there are much worse ones to have, mate.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. Coffee and sunflower seeds and well, we won't go into that, but I won't say beautiful women seem to be my downfall, but we won't go there.
I've seen the tailor.
Hey?
I've seen the tailor.
Oh, have you jumped off the bridge yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't jumped off the bridge yet. Oh, we did go water rafting, but.
Yeah, I don't want to see you unless you jump off the bridge.
Yeah.
You're not welcome here unless you throw yourself off that bridge.
Oh, right? Are you talking about the one that goes in the Hood River?
No, the White Salmon River.
Oh, the White Salmon River.
The river right at the end of the driveway.
Oh, yeah, that bridge.
All the locals jump off that bridge.
Oh, but they do say the water's been the lowest it's been in like 20, 30 years.
Yeah, it's really low right now. But
in that case, make sure you dive in head first.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it'll knock some sense into me, eh, bro?
Yeah, we don't want to crack a hole in the river here and lose all our water.
Just send Pete back to source. It's all good.
Yeah, then we'll have a friend on the other side. We can just stay in contact.
The more we've got over there, the better, mate.
Yeah, we'll give him a little cosmic line to take with him, you know. A little phone line.
Oh, I miss not so much.
Yeah, yeah, I miss you too. I wish you're back, you know, but we'll figure out one way or the other. I'm sure we're going to connect.
It'll happen, mate. It'll definitely happen.
And I'll be seeing you when I get back anyway, bro.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah. So I've got to go to Colorado after this, and then we'll be back by the 4th of July Australian time. So we missed the 4th of July here, but I must say, you know, I've been quite welcome here, like just the American people in general. Like, we went to Portland and had a ball, man, when we first rocked up, Sol and I, and it's been quite a positive and awesome experience, just seeing a lot of things and meeting a lot of people. And but one thing that's been weird is just seeing the chemtrails and that we hear about in Australia. And, you know, we've had grid patterns over the property and the military flying directly over the home. As soon as Sol and I rocked up, man, there was a jet fly straight over the house, like as soon as we rocked up, and there's been, you know, more activity. But it's been, you know, just quite surprising because you hear about that in Australia, but to witness it firsthand is quite another thing.
Yeah, we've had black helicopters. I filmed one yesterday, fly over the ranch, and then we had it was like a C-130 or something at treetop level. Flew right over the house.
Yeah, okay.
Just really rattled the place, you know. But to me, I figured, hey, we're over the target. You know, we must be doing something right because they're really putting some interest out.
As long as you're upsetting them, that's the main thing.
Exactly.
Man, I still got to get out of this country. Don't get us
Yeah.
You'll be all right, man. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I found the American people absolutely lovely and unfortunately, because the way the world is, it's everybody seems to judge countries by their governments.
Yeah.
it's really, obviously, you know, I mean, as we all know, it's nothing like that. I mean, the people in the countries are normally, you know, about as far removed from their government and their policies as you can be. So, yeah, that's something we all have to be really careful of. Like you used to say to me, is the judgment, James, and, you know, just because our governments are, well, let's just say retarded, that's definitely got nothing to do with the people. When I was in America, it was absolutely beautiful, but you come home and then you see the, you know, the government's
You know, we have, when I went to Contact in the Desert, it was just amazing because the people that really wanted to hear about the spiritual side of things and everything, they packed the room and there's no room at all, standing room only, and then there's a line outside. They couldn't even fit the people into the sanctuary where I was speaking.
That was your talk.
Amazing, the attitude. But I met all these awesome people there, and a lot of them from Australia. And you know, they're all having problems right now with you know, TSA and whatever, you know, and the immigration, everything, and they're really messing with everybody I know. They're messing with their visas, they're causing all kinds of problems. So I don't know what's up, but it doesn't matter where you're from right now. It's just that they're just really getting a heavy hand, and they don't want people connecting, obviously.
Yeah, well, I talked to, you know, one bloke here where there was a problem, but I sort of put my foot in it, but I was okay. I was talking about aliens, and the customs were, the dude at customs was actually going, have you heard this theory before, that the aliens are us in the future? And I'm like, you know, this isn't too bad. And I was in and out. But yeah, there's a lot of stories, like you're saying, James, where people are sort of being screwed around, and they don't, they're trying to make it hard and not wanting people to get out.
Yeah. Well, Toby here, he got grueled. Yeah. You know, he's from Australia, and he's been helping us out here, and he got just a grueling experience. They just grilled him over and over, you know, for a couple of hours, and finally he goes, well, you know, look, I don't have anything else to say to you. It's like, I've told you everything you need to know, you know. And he said, I've got nothing left, you know, I'm going to miss my plane, you know. And finally they just said, okay, get out of here, you know, and they let him go. But
I'd really like Giles to meet Toby sometime. Yeah, too, but I've got to say that the staff and the people that are part of your team here, you know, everyone sort of chips in, and it's great to see you've got a great team backing you, and you know, everyone's off their feet the whole time here. There's always something to go on, you know, and do, and as you know, Giles, so I just want to say that because it's been awesome being here, and I appreciate the opportunity.
That's good, man. James, do you get getting much people saying that activity is increasing a little bit at the moment?
Oh yeah, it's definitely increasing, and I'm getting it globally too. People are all over the world
Similar thing over here. Like, I've got a few friends who have had some experiences, and they're just saying that every time it's like they just feel like it's stepped up a gear, and we're wondering what people, whether you have any information about that at all.
Well, yeah, well, basically what they told me, that, you know, it's on, you know, the prime directive is over, and the gloves are off, and they're coming in big time, and they're eradicating this reptilian draconian program that's been here for so long, you know, and you know, the planetary liberation is on right now, full force, and just a huge cleanup going on. That's why people are seeing so many ships. There's, you know, the Pleiadians are very involved in this, and the Orion Council of Light, and the Andromedans, and Arcturians, and Sirians, and the feline beings, all of them are just stepping up to the plate right now, and just doing a major cleanup. So I think a lot of that is what people are seeing, you know, the process. They're seeing one group leaving, the other group coming in and just saying, you're done, you know, you can't hijack this planet anymore.
And there's been a lot of overseeing here with the Pleiadians and the Orions as well. Have you told people about that dematerialization of the reptilian craft? Like, was that recently when that happened?
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. Yeah, they had a craft come over the ranch, and you know, it just felt ominous. It didn't feel good at all. And it was coming in low, and I go, you know, this doesn't feel right. You know, it's just, and all of a sudden we saw this big blue flash, and this craft just turned into powder. Basically, it just dissipated into nothing. And whatever weapon they hit this thing with, it just dematerialized that on a molecular level. Just everything just went into to lowest form, it seems like. And you know, we asked them, we go, what was that? You know, and they said, well, that was a reptilian ship coming in. And he said they had some extreme ill intent, you know, like deadly intent. So they said that that's why they dealt with them, because you know, they warned them, they told them, they said, you know, you can't do that, you can't be here, and they came in anyway, so they just dealt with them. And we saw another ship get smoked too with a big blue flash, and it came down like a leaf, you know, smoking with smoke coming out of it. And then this other ship showed up and picked up all the pieces on Mount Adams. And I actually have that one on film. We filmed the cleanup process, which was amazing. But one ship landed and it morphed into three different ships and was moving all over the mountain, and they came back to one again and then took off.
And I actually filmed basically that last night. I think at one stage it got up to five lights, and it's been quite an experience to see what Mount Adams has going on, because you hear about it from James, but when you get here in person and you see it with your own eyes, and I've filmed it, you know, it's, and like the night before I filmed it, James was filming stuff on the mountain again, and we're basically backing up what, you know, James has been talking about and experiencing here, because I'm doing it on different cameras. Sometimes James isn't around, and so I'm getting exactly what James is, I can be a testimony to what's going on. But Mount Adams sure as hell has some hardcore stuff going on.
Oh, yeah. Long, long history of activity. It goes back to Kenneth Arnold when he lost sight of the ships when they landed on the western slopes of Mount Adams.
No, 47, was it?
Yeah, 1947. But the Native Americans talk about all the activity and the inner earth and the crystal city within the ground, you know, in their folklore. So it has a long, long history of UFO activity.
And I'm doing a doco for you at the moment, which will be out, I'll say, a couple of weeks. So a lot of what we've just spoken about will be in that. So people should just keep an eye out for that. It'll be for free on YouTube as well.
Yeah, how do people access that?
Just go to, if I just type in Peter Maxwell UFO, my website, petermaxwellslattery.com, should come up. And there will be links to my YouTube channel on there. Or just type in my name on YouTube and James, and it should pop up, or E-SETI as well. It'll be, you know, one of the recent things coming from there as well.
Great.
You're not gonna charge lots of money for that, Pete?
Oh, maybe, $1,200 for 6 days or something.
probably need to get some donations so you can do some genetics work.
Yeah, exactly.
With my 12 strains of DNA.
Something like that.
We're gonna start a $10,000 avatar training class, as well as how to make contact, and should be up in the next week.
The Galactic Federation of Geckos.
Yeah.
Give me $25,000, and I'll tell you to go and sit outside and be patient.
Exactly. Yeah.
$5,000, and I'll tell you to go and sit outside, be patient and open minded, and you never know.
And don't judge me. Nothing, still don't judge me.
Yeah. Just give me your money.
I think we need to let the audience know that, because I'll probably get these emails from people saying, "What? You're charging $10,000? You've lost it. I don't believe in you anymore." You know, so we are joking, folks. You know, this is we're just having fun with some of the other people that do seem to charge an arm and a leg, you know, for people to experience themselves, you know.
I tell you, mate, you can't get enlightenment unless you've got deep pockets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, you can become an avatar in one weekend, but if you have enough money, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. There's no work, just cash.
We'll even print a certificate for you.
Yeah. We'll give you a hat and a card, you know, that says you're special.
Oh, I'm going to get sued.
I told you lately a special someone tried to pull that on me, but I won't go into that.
And it's always love and light, multidimensional people that do it. It's really surprising.
Yeah, I never figured that one out.
But if you speak your mind, you die.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, you know, you guys, unfortunately, we're coming up to the end of the hour here, so we've got to sign off, but you know, I can't tell you how awesome it is to connect with you again, Giles, and hear what's going on in your neck of the wood.
We'll have another chat privately at some point, James, and I'll elaborate further.
I've told him a bit, bro, but he just horse's mouth, man. So
yeah.
I've tried calling you probably four or five times, but it just hasn't got through.
Okay. Time difference is cool.
Yeah, I'll leave in about a day and a half, so I'll try a couple of times, but we'll take it from there, buddy. Love you, mate, and tell Britt the same, and Eli.
Yeah. Love you both very much.
All right, be seeing you soon. Hey, so what's the best way to get a hold of you if people want to look at your work in the and your services you provide?
Yeah, just again, petermaxwellslattery.com. That's S-L-A-T-T-E-R-Y. Or just type in Peter Maxwell UFO Australia, and there's a website. There's book stockers. You know, a lot of that's for free. You can get on the internet. I've got my own show as well, which you've been on. And yeah, there's more than enough, you know, stuff for people to absorb for some time to come. So, but thanks for having me on, James.
Yeah, it's been awesome having you here. Yeah, so anyway, I can't tell you guys, you know, catch up on this conference coming up the July 2nd through the 5th. You know, just check it out at eStudy.org. And I also want to apologize, too. I am like a month behind on my emails. I'm really trying to catch up. You know, I opened my file. I've been traveling. I opened up my file. When I saw 28,000 unread emails, I about fell off my chair. So I am doing the best to catch up. Don't take it personal if I haven't gotten back to you. You know, it's just keep trying. And also, it's good to go through one of the other emails on there, like esetireservations@gmail.com, if you want to find out more information about coming to the ranch or the upcoming events, because you know, I just can't get back to you, but the other people can, and they handle those emails. And another little heads up, you know, it's like the coronal mass ejections are slamming in, you know, so they're really affecting people on deep levels. So pay attention, you know, learn to chill out, start meditating, get out in nature, and keep an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent, and everything's going to work out great. But anyway, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and watch the skies.